Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sign Guy Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. Sign Guy along with the coach with the most coming at us from coast to coast. He doesn't mean to brag, but he has to boast because his favorite meal of all time is pot roast. Coach Mike Jones, happy Canada Day to everyone out there celebrating that particular holiday. But I want to jump into things really quick because our guest has a little bit of limited time today. I want to bring to you handsome Nick Hamrick. Mr. Hamrick, thank you so much for being with us today. We appreciate you.
No problem. I'm so glad to be here. I've followed you guys' show. Really love what you guys are doing and just really excited.
Well, we're glad to have you here. And if you followed us, you probably know our traditional first-time question for the first-time guest. What got you into this crazy business of professional wrestling?
Oh, of course, man. 5 years old, watching Flair and WCW and Four Horsemen. I mean, I grew up in the one of the best times in wrestling history. So being a kid in the early 90s, it was kind of impossible not to be in wrestling. And that just kind of stuck with me from there. So really a classic story like all the rest. But then, you know, fast forward to when I actually got into it, which was kind of later. I didn't start really wrestling until I was about 27. Just kind of one of the deals. Had to do it. It had been nagging at me, itching at me for so long, and finally just had enough and, you know, got with my manager, A. Dick Vickers. He couldn't be here today, but, you know, from there, you know, on, it kind of took on its own thing, and we've been doing it since.
And when you get into professional wrestling as an occupation, did you have any type of background, whether it be amateur wrestling or MMA or drama or anything like that, that was going to prepare you, or was pro wrestling sort of something that you were jumping into without a lot of background for it?
Well, kind of, and no, I never done any amateur wrestling, but I had played every sport, you know, other than that. I mean, soccer, baseball, basketball, hockey, football. I literally played all of them growing up, and then even played some semi-pro football in my early 20s. So, you know, I definitely, you know, have the athletic ability. But as far as the, you know, when you get into the training and you start, you know, learning all the steps and everything, it really, I've found out it's, out of all those sports, it is much more mental. Like, it takes much more of a special mentality to be able to time everything right. And that's what surprised me the most, that I really wasn't prepared for. But now I was prepared, but, you know, only to a certain degree. As far as acting, I had done plays and stuff, but nothing really, you know, firm on that. So,
now, there is a wrestler we had on this show at one point that was fairly well known in the late 90s. He was Chris Hamrick. Was there any relation between you and Chris Hamrick of ECW fame?
No. You're actually, believe it or not, you're probably the first person that's asked me that. And I thought I'd been asked that a long time ago. No relation that I know of. But I've seen, you know, a lot of his matches. You know, just you know, good stuff there. I watched a lot of his matches when I was actually like in training, trying to learn the basics.
Now, Now, was he somebody that even if there wasn't a relation, you kind of saw something in him that you wanted to bring out yourself in your own career, or was it just kind of you studied everybody at that point?
Yeah, I was studying a lot of people. If I had to, you know, bring somebody in as far as, like, you know, who I learned off of, it, you know, it wouldn't be him. I have a style that's kind of a mixture between Flair, Rick Rude, maybe Scott Steiner in there. You know, of course, I love Henning and I love, you know, Brett stuff. You know, but, yeah, I wouldn't really copy or template anything from Chris. You know, really just a lot of his amateur skills.
Now, in your career, you've worked a lot, like you said, with a manager, A. Dick Vickers. Managers are something that you don't see a ton of at the national level anymore. The independents have more, but there's still not the numbers that there used to be. Do you think that managers on the national level are something that would help improve the overall business, or do you think that the business may have moved past having a plethora of them at that level?
No, I mean, I love having a manager and, you know, the manager aspect of in wrestling, because I feel like it only adds to it, especially if you have a good manager. You know, I think about the greats like Bobby the Brain and, you know, oh gosh, there's so many, you know, I even think about Arn Anderson in the late 90s when he kind of took that role of J.J. Dillon, you know, so that's probably my favorite style of manager, is one that, like, isn't afraid to get in there and get his hands dirty, whether it's take a bump or actually, you know, get in there and, you know, get on the offense. But that's why I like it even more nowadays, is because you don't see a lot of it. You know, what old is new, again, I feel like that's the same thing with having a manager. And A-Dick, you know, he's just – when I met him – Adam is his real name. When I met him, he was just, I mean, he was hilarious, and his whole, you know, he came up with that whole persona of his, and, you know, that, it's really not even a persona, that's his real name. His name's Adam Richard Vickers, so it just fit. And actually, he's doing a show this past weekend with a group called Stranglehold, and, you know, they're an upcoming tag team. They're, you know, he's doing good things with them, so, you know, having him on my team really just, it just made me better. So,
one of the things that we have noticed in the last few years is that even on the independent wrestling scene, there's a lot more wrestling being streamed and put onto different networks. A lot of companies will air their shows live on either YouTube or Facebook Live or what have you. A lot of them do the streaming services like on the Roku device and so forth. Do you think that even on the independent level, when you stream shows, that's going to affect the live attendance for shows, or do you think that it's going to make shows healthier having that accessibility to watch it anywhere?
No, I feel like any way you can get your content out there, especially to a mass audience, you know, take advantage of the opportunity. Any tool is great, whether it's social media, you know, television, you know, it doesn't matter, or whether it's live. I feel like if your product's good enough, then you put it out there, and people only want to come see it live. That should only encourage them to come see it live. So, now I feel like it only helps the product, as long as you're putting out, you know, what people want to see, that's a good product.
On the independent circuit, I'm sure you're like Coach and myself, where you've been to many, many different promotions that vary as far as what they provide for talent and accommodations and things of that nature. One of the things that is always a nice little touch if you're working on a show is having catering. Some promotions will bring in food and drinks and let the wrestlers have a meal before the show, especially if they have a early call time for whatever reason. Do you run into a lot of shows that actually offer a little bit of catering so the wrestlers can eat without having to leave the venue, find food, come back, or even pack their own food and make sure they have something accessible?
Yeah, I mean, you know, some of the nicer promotions definitely, you know, and I'm sure that it all comes down to economics, but, you know, they do provide catering, and that is a big bonus. That is so nice, especially if it's, you know, good catering. But honestly, I'm as appreciative to the point where, you know, if you have water, you know, I've wrestled in some places that, you know, where you're changing, you know, you definitely don't want to even drink in there, so let alone eat. So, you know, different places, different venues have different, you know, accommodations. But, you know, one of the nicest companies, you know, and I'll plug them, is would be IWA East Coast. They had a full spread. I know they didn't do as many shows with the whole COVID deal since COVID's come around, but every show that I did with them, they had a full spread of catering, and they had different stuff, you know. So anytime you have a company that pulls that, you know, type of service out for its, you know, really its employees, and it makes you feel, you know, you want to come back, you know, so definitely makes a difference.
Now, one of the people in your area that has become a independent superstar, he's wrestled for a lot of the bigger independent promotions, he's had cups of coffee at the national level, and that is Jason Kincaid out of West Virginia. Do you get a chance to cross paths with him very often?
Oh yeah, I mean I've been hurt for the past 2 months. I broke my collarbone and separated my shoulder, both on the same side. So, you know, I haven't got to see him as much in the past 2 months, but up until that point, he was one of my trainers, him along with Chance Prophet. And, I was trained for a few weeks by Jillian Hall. She ran a school for a little while down in the area. But Jason is great. I mean, he has showed me so much, and his training ways, it really enabled me to be able to connect the dots as far as, you know, you got your move sets that you want to do, or, you know, that, you know, you like to do, but he was able to help me to connect, you know, scene to scene, move to move. But I can't speak enough for him as far as a trainer and a coach. And the same with Chance, you know, both them guys at the Pirate Slam Academy, they're doing great things. And I have no doubt that in the next few years you're going to see a couple of, you know, great stars, you know, including myself, you know, come out of there.
Chance Prophet, Jason Kincaid, Jillian Hall, three of my favorite people I've ever been on shows with in my own career. So I think you're doing fairly well if that's who is teaching you. Now, when you look at sort of the landscape of wrestling, like we were saying, things differ on the independent circuit a lot, and the quality of everything is going to vary. But who are some of the referees out there that you think are very, very good that may not get the credit that they deserve?
Oh, man. I would say there's a company up north. Let me see. I think they're called ATCW, Atlantic Terror Championship Wrestling. And I will say I've worked with a couple of their refs on different shows. But I know that they mainly work with ATCW. And I wish I could remember their name. I apologize. But working with them on a couple of different shows, you know, up north in, you know, Morgantown, Pittsburgh area, you know, when you work different areas, just like, you know, wrestlers, different talent, you find different, you know, classes of referees, you know, and, you know, some that are just starting out and some that are experienced, but it just seemed like whatever they're doing up there with their refs, you know, if I was running a promotion, I would book their refs because they were on point and they knew what to do, and you really didn't have to school them too much as far as what's going on with the event or the match.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host, Coach Mike Jones, is with us. I know Coach has questions for you also, so I'm going to pass things over to him.
Hey, Nick. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, how's it going, man?
It's going great. Beautiful day over here in Puyallup, Washington. And you were saying you grew up in one of the best wrestling cities. Which one was that?
Well, I grew up in one of the best wrestling eras, you know, the early 90s and the late 90s. But as far as cities, you know, Charleston, West Virginia is where I was born and raised. And then I've lived for a few years, you know, in my 20s in Charlotte, North Carolina. So both those cities, a lot of history with the whole Mid-Atlantic and WCW and, you know, those days. So.
All right. Right on. Okay, and so who were some of your heroes growing up, whether it was wrestling, sports, or ordinary life?
Heroes, you know, I was a 90s kid, so of course, you know, Michael Jordan, the Bulls, Emmitt Smith, the Cowboys. You know, I enjoyed watching, you know, Jeff Gordon and Ray Sin a little bit, but my number one all-time, you know, umbrella over all those rest of those sports and heroes was, you know, wrestling and Ric Flair. So that would probably be my biggest inspiration or, you know, hero as far as growing up as a kid.
Okay, cool. And then so what were some of the most memorable matches you've seen or been involved with?
Well, one of the very first memories I have in life, I was probably four or five years old. I remember my parents were having a bunch of people over for a big cookout, and they were watching the Bash at the Beach, you know, 94 with Flair and Hogan. And that, you know, I don't remember much of the whole event or the match. I just remember seeing Ric Flair on TV. And so that was pretty cool having that as like a first memory. But as far as memorable matches, you know, there's so many that I've seen throughout the years. I'm a huge fan. I've watched, you know, whether it's WWF, you know, WWE, ECW, NWA, you know, it doesn't matter. As far as being a part of, I got to see Flair come to Charleston with Shawn Michaels when he was with, you know, an honorary member of DX. I think that was in 2008. And that was pretty cool. Got to see him wrestle in a tag team match. So seeing that live, that was pretty special.
Right on. And what's your self-defense background?
Self-defense, you know, growing up, other than, you know, just playing normal sports, I did box. Now, I didn't do any actual real matches, but I went to training and I boxed for years, you know, just sparring at the classes and with the coaches, but so I do have a boxing background before I got into wrestling. So, yeah.
All right. And so who are some of your favorite people to work?
To work?
Let's see.
I tell you what, Mike Sark out of Ashland, Kentucky, he was a lot of fun. We did a couple good shows together. And then Ron Mathis, I faced him, I think, Bluefield, West Virginia, and he was you know, Ron's been in the business a while now, and he's had a lot of, you know, awesome accomplishments in his own right. And so just to be in the ring with him was pretty cool. Bruce Gray was another one. Yeah, those are just to name a few, some special ones. Other than, you know, I've been in the ring with Chance Prophet. That was pretty cool. That was he was my coach, but at the same time, growing up as a kid, you know, around Charleston, West Virginia, that was, you know, somebody I looked up to. So it was pretty cool sharing the ring with him.
Definitely. And one of our standard questions we ask, Sign Guy would like to know, what's your favorite coffee to drink?
Favorite coffee? Oh, it'd have to be, I hope I'm saying this right, Vernada Blend, Starbucks.
Okay. And then who were some of your toughest opponents?
Toughest opponents? Oh, man. I was involved in a couple battle royals with him, so never a one-on-one match, thank God. But there's a man that's coming out of, I believe, Charleston or Nitro, West Virginia, and you're going to see a lot of him this year, because this year really is going to be his breakout year, I believe. And that's Mad Nick Manns. Mad Nick Manns, just like the name, he's a madman, and he is a big dude. And you do not want to be getting hit by him or be on the other, you know, end of the ring, toe to toe with him.
Okay, and then what some suggestions do you have for people wanting to get into the business?
Suggestions? Well, you know, when I originally wanted to do this, I was like, you know, 17, 18 years old, and there was almost no schools around. Most of the schools were thousands of dollars, and you had to move and live there for, you know, a year or so. And for the 17, 18, 19-year-old guy, a kid, you know, it was a little too much for me to take on. So nowadays, there's all kinds of opportunities. You see these schools everywhere. My advice would be to make sure that you're getting the right training, to not, you know, not waste your money on training that, you know, is teaching you wrong things or just taking advantage of you. You need to do your research, find you a school, and just get your foot in the door. Start, whether it's paying your dues or just, you know, training, working out, watching film. You've got to put in the work, and it may not happen today, tomorrow, but eventually that hard work will pay off, and somebody will notice around, and you'll get your first match. And then once you get your first match, then you have some film that you can try to, you know, get other people to book you. And then you just go from there. You just keep plugging away. That's the key. It's simple, but it's not easy.
Yeah. All right. And then what are some schools you'd like to suggest for people?
Oh, well, there is Power Slam Academy out of Nitro, West Virginia. They're the ones that train me, and they bring in a lot of, you know, big names as far as, you know, whether it's the help coach for a couple weeks or to do a seminar. You know, they brought in Tom Pritchard for a weekend. That was really cool. Jake Christ came in for a seminar, a couple others. But so if you're in that area, that's a good place. Another one is, I believe, FTC. I don't know if they're still operating, but, you know, there's a lot of good talent that I know that came out of FTC. So you may look them up. Trying to think, as far as, you know, if you're going to, there's a school in North Carolina that, can't remember the guy's name. I wish I could, but he does a lot of shows with, CPW, and they're a company up in Morgantown, West Virginia. And that man brings a lot of talent. And I know he brings in a lot of, you know, good coaches to, you know, train those guys from down there in, I think it's Mount Airy, North Carolina is where he's at.
All right. And then your manager, taking a look at him, is another good-looking dude. He looks like he could hold his own also.
Yeah, and the thing about Adick is that he Adick actually is really big into jiu-jitsu. So I watched that man get in the, you know, in the ring and roll with guys twice his size and not only hold his own, but get them to submit. So, you know, I know that he has a certain persona about him, and, you know, he likes that because he's like that that secret striker. He's my wild card. You know, you never expect him to strike, but when he does, man, he really knows how to. And like I said, he's, I think he's right now doing some stuff with Stranglehold, a tag team, and they're going to be really fun to watch this year. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and I'm watching your video right now with you and him doing a promo. What's he got, the golden mirror?
Yeah, he's got a golden mirror, and then he also likes to we're in West Virginia, so West Virginia, Kentucky, Ohio, you know, Pennsylvania. We run into a lot of, poor hygiene people, shall we say. And he likes to toss out bars of soap to the fans and give them instructions on how to bathe.
Yeah, and he's carrying around $100 bills.
Yeah, we try to, we get a couple of refs that are smart that decide that they like to make a payday, and, you know, we work something out behind the scenes, so you always got to be prepared. Any case necessary, right? A win is a win.
Exactly. Another thing I'm impressed with, your gear is pretty awesome, too. Nice jacket you got there.
Yeah, a guy named Lou Bird designed that and made that. And, man, he just – I gave him kind of an idea of what I wanted, and, man, he just nailed it. And he if you look him up, he does a lot of gear for a lot of people in the industry, and he does great work. Lou Bird.
Okay, cool. And then Johnny Fairplay's from that area. Are you familiar with him?
I am, but, I haven't crossed paths with him yet, on the road. So hopefully that happens one day, but as of right now, hasn't occurred yet.
Okay. And, hey, what do you got coming up?
Well, nothing right now. I'm kind of taking some time off with my family, with my collarbone and my separated shoulder. It's close to pretty much, healed up. But again, I abused it for a long time. And so when I finally went to the doctor, he was like, oh, shit. So, yeah, I'm just kind of taking some time and then enjoying with my family.
And how do people get a hold of you?
Well, I mean, they can always head over to my Facebook page, Handsome Nick Hamrick. That's where you can get all the merchandise. We got the Wrestling Buddies, the T-shirts, little old-school style cards, trading cards, a lot of other stuff on there. Or you can go on the Twitter. It's Nick Hamrick 2 is the Twitter page. But that's basically how you can get a hold of me, how you can follow my matches. I have a YouTube page as well. Just type in Nick Hamrick and it'll come up. I got a lot of content on there. Check it out.
Right on. Okay, cool. So, yeah, I just gave you a like on your Facebook page, and I'm looking forward to looking at more of your stuff. And we've done over 1,700 shows now. In over 10 years, and we're proud and honored to have you on. Thank you so much, and I wish you all the luck in the world.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on, and I'm honored for the opportunity, and I can't wait to hear more from Turnbuckle Turmoil.
And I'm sure Sign's got more, since you said you were scheduled for another 10 minutes or so.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. Nick, one of the things in pro wrestling that a lot of people put a lot of thought into, a lot of emphasis on, especially early in their career, it seems like, is the entrance music. What's your entrance music as far as what you've been doing lately, and has it evolved much over your career?
Well, you know, when I went through, I kind of always had an idea of, you know, the person I wanted to be, because the best character for you is basically you turned up to level 100. So, you know, I always had the little bit of cocky, arrogant, you know, handsome Nick Hamrick in me growing up, because being a good-looking guy in Charleston, West Virginia, you got hated on quite a bit. So it just kind of, that screw you too mentality. And so when I was going through, you know, picking my name, picking my gear, you know, it all happened within a month of what I was going to do, because I wanted to have it right from the start. And I probably went through 600 songs. And, you know, it was just, this one was clear as day. It was Mother Danzig, you know, from Danzig Mother. So a lot of people were like, what? Like, they're thrown off by that. They're so shocked. But then when you watch me, if you come to a match and you see me, my motion, and you hear the lyrics, and you see my character, then you really, you understand it. I've had several wrestlers go, I don't think that's going to work. And then they see it and they're like, man, that's perfect. So for me, I don't know if it may change, you know, as I change, but you know, for right now it's Mother Danzig.
We have a wrestler up in our neck of the woods named Dave Turner who also uses that. So at some point, if you ever wrestle Dave Turner, there's going to be a whole lot of Danzig that day.
Yeah, we might have to have a match song for the song, you know, song versus song.
I think so, and if you need tips to beat him, I've never lost to Dave Turner. I defeated him on our one somewhat sanctioned match, so I'll give you some tips.
Good deal.
Oh, another thing that a lot of people put a lot of stress and emphasis on is their wrestling gear. A lot of people come up with really elaborate designs. A lot of people put a lot of thought into making their gear stand out from what everyone else is wearing. Some people just order what's available now on high spots and be done with it. Some people have dozens of sets of gear. Some people have one. There's all kinds of variations on that. What's your own personal gear game like these days?
Well, like I said, I had Lou Bird make my stuff. But before then, you know, I remember the only show that I had this gear, it was my debut show. And, you know, after that show, I wore Lou's stuff, but, you know, it was just a normal style of pants, generic pants from High Spots. If you look at the pictures, you would see that you've probably seen those pants for the past 20 years. They're like blue and white and they have jagged edges. But, I remember when I went to the locker room to change, and I changed, and, you know, I'm in there, mind you, Juventud Guerrero, my debut show is right over there. He's the main event. And, you know, in front of him, there's a couple other up-and-coming wrestlers in the area that, you know, been doing it for years. And they like, you know, they didn't really make fun, but they definitely, like, laughed at my gear. And, you know, I had good boots, and I still had a nice jacket that represented my character and had my, you know, logos and everything on there. But at that moment, I realized it was like, okay, if you're going to do this, if you want to be taken seriously, I mean, you've really got to seek out somebody and get custom gear. So if, you know, if money is an issue, I get that. Do with what you can while you can. But the first opportunity you have to get, you know, custom gear, that's what you got to do.
I would agree with you for that for sure. Well, I know your time was a little bit short today, and I want to make sure you have more than enough time. If there's anything that you would like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything, appearances, merchandise, social medias, your favorite used car lot, anything you'd like, floor is all yours.
No, I've pretty much plugged everything that I needed to. I will say that, you know, we're sponsored, or one of my sponsors is Charleston Gold Buyers. So they're another company in the valley, buy gold, so you might want to check them out. But other than that, I've plugged everything I need to. If you're looking for a wrestling school, like I said, Power Slam Academy, if you're in West Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky area, it's, you know, I have people that would drive 2 hours to go to that school because it was that good. And, you know, second to that, I think everybody needs to give the old man a chance, and let's check out one more good memory on July 31st. I think we all need to just get our popcorn ready, sit back and relax, and watch the Flair match, because I hear a lot of people online, you know, getting really, you know, peeved about it and, you know, worried and all that. And trust me, I'm worried too, but at the same time, I think with Conrad doing it and the people he's got around him, I think they're going to do it right, and you're not going to see him. I don't think you're going to see him have any type of medical event in the ring. So everybody just needs to have a good time.
All right. Well, Handsome Nick Hamrick, it has been our pleasure to have you on the show. We definitely appreciate you being with us, and I look forward to the next time you are with us, and tell all of your teachers that I said hello. Hopefully our paths will cross again too.
Yeah, and remember, Handsome Nick Hamrick is the man with 100% pure greatness in his veins, and I would never lie to you, baby. Believe it.
I believe it for sure. Well, ladies and gentlemen,
thanks,
if you've
guys.
Not seen Handsome Nick Hamrick,
welcome.
Get on the YouTube, check him out. He's a great, great talent. I know his teachers very well. They are fantastic, so you can imagine the quality they are coming out with as far as students go, so search him out. I got some show notes for some people looking for some professional wrestling in the next few days. Tonight, WCWO at the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis, Indiana. Coach, what's the address for that?
Oh, goodness. 110?
Nope.
I'm going to have to write it down.
All right, write this down. 1151 South Kentucky Avenue in Indianapolis, Indiana. FGW tonight in Hamilton, Ohio. ECW in Liberty, Kentucky. Tomorrow night, Power Pit Pro Wrestling returning to Roseburg, Oregon. APW in Clearfield County, Ohio. EOB is running the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis. Coach, what's the address on that?
1151.
Yes, South Kentucky Avenue.
South Kentucky Avenue. Okay.
JICW in Martinsville, Indiana. UCW in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. KEPW in Frankfort, Kentucky. Pro Wrestling King in Knox, Indiana. FFW in Panama City, Florida. NWP in Terre Haute, Indiana. RPW in Pacey, Michigan. APW running the Corbin Civic Center in Corbin, Kentucky tomorrow. SCW in Cornelius, Georgia. Sunday, Northwest Pro running out of their normal zone. They are running in Portland, Oregon at a festival. Blue Collar Wrestling later that Sunday in Portland at the Colony. Pro Wrestling King back at it in Knox, Indiana. And on Monday, because of the Independence holiday, you got some shows running then as well. War Wrestling in Lima, in Ohio. And also Wrestle Club with a big event in Boise, Idaho. So if you have some wrestling near you in the next few days, get out there, support it. Great time to watch a show. Lots of outdoor shows this time of year. Coach, happy Bobby Bonilla Day to you.
It is. Every July 1st, he collects another $1 million check from the New York Mets, right?
He does. Over $1 million. It's like $1,129,000 and change. They might have regretted that back in 1991 when the ink was dried.
And that was one of the most cunning and strategic and greatest contracts anyone could have ever signed.
Not if you were the Mets.
Well, for a player, of course.
Yeah, yeah. If you were the New York Mets, then, yeah, you got messed around on that. But for Bobby Bonilla, he just opens up his mailbox, pulls out $1 million every single July 1st. He must really love Canada Day.
He does. And you know what? People need to know that you have you hate the Mets and the Cubs. Can you let us know why?
With a passion, I hate them. Now, of course, I'm a Reds fan, so that spells out most of it. But, of course, there's that whole thing with Tom Seaver. That made me angry, made me very angry.
Well, Tom wasn't happy to go there the first time, but it worked out well for him. He got some rings.
I would have bought him a ring if he had stayed.
Yeah, all right. And what about the Cubs? What's your heat with the Cubs?
Well, you know, I'm a Reds fan, and that's the natural rival, the natural hatred there. So if I see a guy in a Cubs uniform, my instinct is to just punch them.
Well, then I definitely won't be wearing my Kerry Wood Cubs shirt around you.
I would hope not. I'd hate to have to rip that thing off of you and start choking you out with it. I wouldn't want to do that.
Damn, son. Are you that violent? Plus, you should know I'm an effing ninja. You're not even going to get close enough to my space. Okay? You got to stay at least an inch outside my radius or you're in trouble.
I don't know. I can get pretty heated when it comes to that type of jersey.
Okay. I believe you, but I'm just letting you know. All right,
now,
well,
Coach, I mentioned go ahead, Coach, sorry.
No, I interrupted you.
Oh, I was just going to say I wanted to also point out that Russell Club, like I said, with outdoor shows, they are doing an outdoor venue, so it's a good idea to bring your own lawn chair if you have one, and also remember the sunscreen. But Russell Club running, as they often do on Independence Day, and they always attach a charity to their show. So when you pay to see Russell Club, you're helping put some money into local charities. So get out there, support that. And also, I believe I missed a show tomorrow, PWX in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. That featuring Jesse Bell Smothers, who has a birthday tomorrow. So happy birthday to Jesse Bell, whom I once thought put me in the hospital, but she did not.
She's quite the sweetie, and she's a former Turnbuckle guest, and we hope to have her on again.
Absolutely. Always a delight to get to see Jesse Bell whenever I get the opportunity, even though I briefly thought she put me in the hospital. I was convinced of it. I was like, that's okay. It was just Jesse Bell. Turned out it wasn't her at all, though.
And then, you know, the facts of life. She's a sweetie. She would not. I don't think she would do that to you.
Well, I didn't think it was intentional.
Okay. And then I'm checking out right now at Great America Ballpark. Right now, the Cincinnati Reds are underway hosting the Atlanta Braves. Mike Miner's on the hill, and has just started throwing his first pitches.
Indeed so. Always a good series, the Reds and the Braves. They're two of the oldest franchises in the game.
Yesterday, Tommy Pham had a big day, and so did Joey Votto. It looks like he's back on track. His average is up to 224 now.
Yeah, it's always a tough start for Joey Votto. He is traditionally a late starter pretty much every season of his career. He struggles to start and then starts heating up, and he ends up being just fine, but it takes him a while to get going.
Definitely. Yeah, and the Mariners have been heating up after they were 10 games under 500. Now they're only 4 games under 500 at 37-41. We've won 2 in a row since that huge brawl in Anaheim. A bunch of people got suspended. J.P. Crawford's on his suspension right now. And we're hosting the A's at T-Mobile Park tonight. Marco Gonzalez is on the hill against James Kerpillian. Kerpillian's 0-5, and Marco's 4-8, but he's got an impressive ERA with a 3.31.
Now, the A's, they might be, and we say this, you know, knowing full well it's not happened in decades, but they might be looking to move to a new location.
Yes, definitely. It's really sad that minor league teams draw more than the Oakland A's.
A's have traditionally not drawn exceptionally well, but they've been in Oakland for decades. It would be sad to see them have to leave, but they've surprised us before. They've stuck around when everybody wrote them off as definitely leaving, so we'll have to see how it plays out.
For sure, and Julio Rodriguez has been heating up, him and Jesse Winker, both of them. Julio's hit home runs in two games in a row, and Jesse Winker's been doing good since having a slow start. He's now batting 235.
Now, that tells you just how horrible the Reds were to start when you were saying they're doing really great now, and guys are only hitting 225 and 235.
Yeah, goodness. And, yeah, your minor leagues aren't doing as bad.
Minor leagues are doing okay-ish. They started off slow as well for the most part, but they're coming along.
Yeah, the other day in Dayton, their outfielder Hendricks threw out two people on the base pass, so that was looking impressive. And they got a stockpile of shortstops down there in the minors.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the management there in Cincinnati knew a little bit more than people thought they did. Maybe they have things on the right track there at the minor league level. It was kind of written off at the beginning of the year. But baseball is a marathon, not a sprint.
Definitely. Okay, let's take a look at some of that stuff. The Dayton Dragons, they're having a really good year so far. I would imagine they're in first place.
I believe they're either first or second, yeah.
Yeah, they're playing at Great Lakes today. Let's see.
That's up in Michigan, yeah. I believe.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Okay. And let me see here. Dayton is now 43-29, but Great Lakes is 44-28, and they're playing at Dow Diamond Field in Michigan there.
See, we were right. It was in Michigan.
Yeah. And have you got to see the Dayton Dragons yet?
Not in person. I've seen clips and highlights, but I haven't been to a game, of course.
Okay. And let me see. De La Cruz is doing good still, batting 297. Yeah. And that guy, the outfielder I was telling you about, Hendricks, let's check him out. Austin Hendricks, 21-year-old out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He's a former number one draft pick, 12th overall. So, yeah, he might be doing good someday soon, hopefully. He's in his first year in the minors.
I believe they took a little bit of a look at him during the spring training, too. I believe he was up there for a little while before getting transferred.
Right on. And then Eli De La Cruz, 20-year-old. Man, he's a tall guy. He's 6'5", 200 pounds, sort of lanky. He's out of Dominican Republic. He's got 15 home runs and 47 RBIs. He looks pretty impressive. And then
absolutely. They
also got a for Louisville, the guy Baroa. What, you know about him?
A little bit. He's going to be a good player, I think, but he might not be with the big club up until they do the call-ups in September.
Okay. Yeah, and then the Rainiers won two games in a row in extra innings. Let me see. Kelnick batting .297, but he's still striking out every one out of three times, so they didn't give him a chance to come back up yet. They did bring up Marcus Wilson. He's been in the minors for 8 years and finally got a chance. And he got his first at-bat the other day as a Mariner and ended up walking. He got a big ovation for that.
Well, of course.
And then Cal Raleigh's been coming on strong ever since Luis Torrens hurt his shoulder in that fight. That fight was pretty impressive. Jesse Winker went over there, challenged the whole team, basically.
Well, I mean, yeah, but then you lose games, you lose A when you do that, so.
Yeah, exactly, and then you know what people don't realize? Everybody's going, oh, they're going back to, or no, the Angels are coming back to Seattle August 4th. Hey, buddy, you better not forget, we're going back to Anaheim September 16th for 4 games. You guys need to settle this stuff down rather than thinking they want to keep it going. And then just our luck, we'll go up there, over there to California in September and lose a bunch of people, not just by suspension, by injury also.
Yeah, that can definitely happen. Now, do you remember when Nolan Ryan was firing rabid punches into the face of Black Jack McDowell?
Yeah, I also remember when he got dude in a headlock and started punching him in the head.
That's what I was referencing, yeah. Yeah, they frown on that now in baseball. They definitely frown on that.
McDowell was a pitcher, and so it wasn't McDowell.
Oh,
it was the batter.
It wasn't it was Robin Ventura.
Robin Ventura, yes.
Yeah. He was mad at Black Jack McDowell, which led to the heat, which led to Robin Ventura coming out.
And that always reminds me of Randy Johnson when he was headhunting some people and they interviewed him afterwards and Randy goes, look, I'm not intimidated. I'm the intimidator.
Yep. They just frown on that now because people get lost to injuries and it shortens careers and that type of thing, which you can definitely understand.
Definitely. And then Tacoma is now 30-44. They're hosting the Salt Lake City Bees for 35-40 at Cheney Stadium tonight. And Tacoma starters to be determined. And Salt Lake is putting on the mound a guy named Junk. He's 0-2 with the 508. So he probably throws some junk balls.
He might.
His name's Jansen.
He probably got like a forkball or something.
And, hey, let's take a look at him. Jansen Junk is a 26-year-old right-hander. He's out of Federal Way, Washington. He was born in Federal Way in 96. He went to Seattle University College. Was a 22-round pick out of the Yankees.
Now, did you ever get to go see him play while he was in Federal Way?
No, I didn't. I haven't seen any baseball games in Federal Way.
Oh, well, it is pretty far away from you.
Yeah, not that far. Jeez.
Still, you'd have to walk for like 10 miles or something.
No, it's like 20-something miles. Okay, let's
see
here.
That is a long walk. Yeah.
Do you have any more insight on the Reds minor league system?
Not so much, really, that we haven't covered. Hopefully, they continue the progress. I think we're going to see De La Cruz on the big league team, I'd say maybe this month.
Okay, that'd be nice to see. And then the Arkansas Travelers are at the Tulsa in the Texas League today. Arkansas is our only team with a winning record in the Mariners organization. They're 38-34. They're playing at One Oklahoma Field, and Tulsa is 41-29. And today Arkansas is going with Stephen Kolick against Tulsa's John Rooney. So that should be a good game.
Should be.
All right, so we got Sunday off, a rare day off on Turnbuckle.
Taking a rare day off to have the holidays celebrated. But we will be back with it next week. 1 week from today, Coach, we have Judge Jesse coming to the show.
We do, and my goodness, we were 2 months ahead on booking. Now we're like, are we still only 2 weeks ahead or what?
We got all of July. Finished up a couple of guys earlier this week. Looking to finalize August, waiting for some confirmations.
Well, let's go over July because I'm missing four of the dates, four of the people.
Okay, do you have your pencil that you were using earlier to write down the address for the Outlaw Arena?
I do.
Okay, here we go. Next week, the 8th, we have Judge Jesse. The 10th, referee Jason Stone out of the great state of New York. The 15th, Vince Deal. The 17th, Eric Wright. 22nd, Chet Ripley. The 24th, Rachel Armstrong, who makes her home at 1151 South Kentucky Avenue. 29th, we have Mega Mondo. And then on the 31st, Tim Porras, referee out of the Ohio area.
Tim Corus.
Yes.
Okay. And then we still have people on the list to hopefully get them booked for August.
92nd. We are trying to communicate with some people that were on the list, see if we can get them, and hopefully we'll get them soon. Also, a theme coming up in August. We're still finalizing a couple of the spots, but this theme does help us all. It comes from the mind of Sabotage Styles.
Right on. Okay, and you guys can check me out at Coach Mike Jones, the coach with the most. Also, Coach Mike Jones on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter. Don't forget to check out the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast tomorrow between noon and 1:30. I got Sunny Days on there. We'll be giving her a little bit of an interview and talking about what she's got coming up. And then we got the big UFC fights coming up this weekend. So I got Jeff the G on to go over that. Then we got All Things Fitness Quest with 7-time world champ Brad Schwartz and Jake Schwartz. And then, of course, I'll be doing the Mariners and Reds organizational report. So looking forward to that. Also, don't forget to check out the Real School Army and the NGW Green Room. And if you need a tow in the Northwest, get a hold of Big Boys Towing and tell them Coach Mike sent you.
Hopefully nobody's lost their toe and has to make that call, but if they do, they got you covered.
If you need your car towed.
Oh,
your
okay.
Trailer,
that makes a little more sense.
And then you just did the Sign of the Times 537 last week.
We did. It was from an undisclosed game last week. You may have seen a very disclosed old Ken Hamlin and some surprise guests.
And they had some bean. It was a beanball fest, you said.
It was that undisclosed game. There were a lot of hits batsmen.
And I never got to find out who won the game.
The Fish Sticks won. It was 19-12, if I'm not mistaken. I believe that was the final score.
And what was the name of the team and where were they from that they played?
They played the Honks. I believe the Honks are from Redmond, but I'm not 100% sure, but I believe Redmond is where the Honks play their ball.
Okay, cool. Too bad
and Chicken Bob
Jimmy
was at
either.
The game. He got to see his all-time favorite baseball rule go into effect. You know Chicken Bob's favorite rule in baseball, right, Coach?
Hawk ball.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chicken Bob loves it when the pitchers balk.
Too bad you don't have Jimi Hendrix Star Spangled Banner to close the show out with today.
Well, I have something just as appropriate. Are you prepared as we wrap things up?
Well, how do people contact you?
Well, they could get on the Book of Faces. They could follow me on the Twitter, but not literally. That's creepy, even if it is Dylan Bostick's mother, Missy. She follows me on the Twitter, but she doesn't just follow me everywhere I go hiding behind plants or something. I don't think. Missy's not there.
I imagine she's cute since he's good looking.
Yeah. You've never met Missy Bostick?
No, not yet.
Delightful woman.
Right on.
And speaking of Dylan Bostick, he'll be on that show tomorrow night in Indianapolis. Dylan making one of his rare Indianapolis appearances. So you should go out there and check that out while you have the opportunity.
We got to be on Heroes and Legends with him.
I did. I've been on many, many shows with Dylan Bostick over the years. Dylan Bostick even, in fact, once was my booker.
Sweet.
Third or fourth year of being 18 years old at that point.
Damn, okay. Well, I want to
wish you
happy.
But are you prepared as we wind this out and head off into holiday, Coach?
Let's do it.
Here we go.